Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Amen. Well, if you're a believer, would you give God an expression of praise this morning? It's good to be in His house, fellowshipping among His people. Amen. Great to see all of you here this morning. If you have your Bibles, would you go to the book of Proverbs chapter 14? And I hear that Brother Jeff Hennigan's in the house. Hey, Jeff. How you doing, my man? Good to see you. So you have one or two options, okay? Here it is. You ready? You can stand there and say something, or you can come up here and say something. So doesn't matter to me. Jeff, good to see you. Always happy to have you. And that's never. So this is a great day. Yes, it is. Well, here's a little humor. Little Johnny, he's always being teased by his other neighborhood boys for being stupid. And their favorite joke is to just come alongside him and offer Johnny the difference. They said, now look, here's a dime and here's a nickel, and we want you to choose. And little Johnny always takes the nickel. And one day after Johnny takes the nickel, a neighborhood guy pulled him aside and said, look, he said, Johnny, those boys are making fun of you. Don't you know the difference between a dime and a nickel? And don't you know that a dime is more valuable than a nickel, even though a nickel is bigger? And so Johnny grins and says, well, if I took the dime, they would stop. And so far, I've made 20 bucks. All right, so what I'm going to do is talk about what you think about. And we've been in this series for 3 weeks now. What I want to do is let's go to the book of Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 15. The King James Version says it like this. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well unto his going. Another version says it like this. A foolish person will believe anything, but a wise person thinks about what he does. Before you're seated, if you have our TPC app, you can follow me. My notes, some of my notes are in there, and you can follow me on the TPC app. Thank you for being here. Let's pray. Father, we ask you for the next few minutes that you would just bring our bodies and our minds and our hearts together to receive your word. And I pray that it would add value in the name of Jesus. And everybody give God some praise and say amen. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. As I said, we're in the third week of a series, How Do I Change My Life? And we started talking about, number one, my thoughts. Say this with me. Say this with me. My thoughts control my life. But I control my thoughts. The Bible says in another scripture, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We are very big on the message of salvation, which is repentance, baptism in his name, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, living a modest lifestyle. That's the foundation of the Pentecostal belief. We love that message. We're going to continue to preach it. However, if I were to say what I feel like is one of the second most important messages, that would be how we think. Because how we think, our thoughts control our life. And this is just a matter of fact. If you think dumb thoughts, you're going to have a dumb life. And if you think depressing thoughts, you're going to have a depressing life. And if you think thoughts you're never going to be happy, then guess what? You're probably never going to be happy. If people gave you a $100 bill, you'd find something wrong with it. Because you've made up in your mind you're not going to be happy. Have you ever met anybody like that? Don't raise your hand. You know, we're worried about air pollution and we're worried about water pollution, but we ought to be worried about mind pollution. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I say this tongue in cheek, but Dr. Nealon's in the house to give you a checkup from your neck up. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you need a checkup from your neck up. You need to think about what you're thinking about. And you know what? We're not just talking about something that's going to help you on a Sunday morning. We're talking about something you can take with you outside of this building when you go to your job, when you go into your school, as you're in your marriage. This is something you can take with you to add value to your life. Here it is. Number one, my thoughts control my life, but I can control my thoughts. I need to preach this morning. Because what we try to do is control so much that we can't control. We try to control the weather. We try to control other people. We try to control so much that is not within our sphere of control. And the thing we can control, 9 times out of 10, we don't. We let the enemy bombard us and we just think it's us and we get to feasting on those thoughts. And you got to be careful because thoughts are seeds. And seeds, if they stay planted long enough, are going to bring fruit in your life. You got to think about what you're thinking about. Look at three people and tell them that. Say, wake up. You got to think about what you're thinking about. Here's number two. Are you ready? Say, I'm ready. Any change, say any change I want in my life must start in my mind. That's powerful. Change, brothers and sisters, starts in our brain, not in our behavior. Let me break that down for you. What that means is that if you want to diet, then we start thinking, I need to eat more lettuce. No, that's trying to change the behavior. Change doesn't start in the behavior. In other words, I need to stop this addiction, so I'm gonna do this. That's trying to start with the behavior. That is the wrong place to start. In other words, I'm going to try to stop spending money so I'm not going to Lake Charles. I don't even want to go by the mall. Again, that is the wrong place to start. Change does not start in the behavior. Change starts in the mind. Remember this, if you don't have a big enough reason why, then it doesn't even matter how. There's probably 100 different ways on how to lose weight, but none of them matter because you're not going to follow through with it if you don't have a big enough reason why. You've got to see yourself losing weight. You've got to ask yourself, why do I want to lose weight? This is why most people can lose weight when they go to the doctor and the doctor says, if you don't lose 50 pounds, I'm going to give you 2 years to live because you're killing yourself. Guess what? They just got a big enough reason why. Does it make sense? Here's the next thing. If you don't hate it, what you're doing, you're going to tolerate it. Always. If you don't hate what that addiction is doing to you, if you don't hate what that weight's doing to you, if you don't hate the way you're thinking, then guess what? You're going to tolerate it because you never got enough, big enough reason why you should change. Because change doesn't start in the behavior. Change starts in the brain. Let's go to number three. I can change how I feel by changing how I think. Thoughts produces feelings and feelings produces action. Thoughts produces feelings, feelings produces action. Why do you say, I don't feel like I'm gonna mow the yard today? I don't feel like mowing the yard. Does the yard get mowed? 9 times out of 10, it doesn't, because you don't feel like it. Why? Because you're thinking, I'm tired, I don't want to do that. Your thoughts produces feelings, your feelings produces actions, and you lay up in your couch and you do something different. So if I want to change my actions, I have to swim back upstream and change the way I think. I don't change my behavior because that's just a symptom. I got to go to the root of the problem. Brothers and sisters, I cannot overemphasize the power of your thoughts. Your thoughts have the power to drive and control your whole life. Okay, so if we want to act differently, we don't start by trying to change our actions. We have to swim upstream and change how we think. Here's number four. This is a big one. I could preach 30 minutes on this one alone. You've already heard it, but here it is again as a reminder. Behind every behavior, there's a belief. That's huge. Behind every behavior, there is a belief. See, you may be cruising along, talking, having a very civil conversation with your spouse, and all of a sudden, they say something, And then your hands start shaking, your BP goes up, you may start crying. And then you say, why all of a sudden that? Because something they said come against an unspoken belief. This is a very simple analogy. When you go to someone and you tell them, look, I'm very sorry, but I have to inform you that one of your family members has just passed away. Why do 9 times out of 10 they start crying? Because now they immediately thought, what am I going to do? How am I going to handle this loss? How am I going to make it without this person? Right? See, behind every behavior, there is a belief. And here's one of the most important things that you can ask yourself. One of the most powerful things that you will ever ask yourself is this. It's a question. Why do I believe what I believe? See, you don't even realize it. Maybe you do. I hope you do. But behind the way you invest your money, behind your finances, there's a belief. The way you raise your children, there's a belief. Why you even come to church this morning, there's a belief behind that behavior. If you gave in the offering, thank you for doing that. Behind that behavior, there's a belief. The way you interact with others, behind every behavior, there is a belief. And so if you don't like the behavior, then you have to go back to the belief. My wife told me one time, she said, Wayne, when you get around this certain person, you act different. I said, really? She said, yes, every time. I said, are you serious? She said, yes. I said, okay. So then I began to ask myself a question. If I get around this person, why am I acting different every time? There's a belief behind that. So I started unpacking that. I started digging down into it. And I found out basically I feel pretty insecure around this person. So here's what I've learned. Nobody can make you feel that way without your permission. So I'm giving that person permission. It doesn't matter, brothers and sisters, who they are. It doesn't matter what they do or where they come from. I've learned this. People are people. And a man puts his pants leg on the same way I do, and they're not any better than me, and I'm not any better than them. I'm a child of God. And I don't want to get my value based off of anything external. Listen to me, please. If you get your value based off of anything external, then when that is taken away, you feel invaluable, or you don't feel valuable, in other words. So what does that mean? A car can be taken away, and if your value is in a car, when the car's taken, then who are you? If you have a position and your position is who you are, then when the position is taken away, who are you? If you have money and money is taken away, then who are you? Because you have to understand, things come and things go. It may be here today and it can be gone tomorrow. And if you're putting your value in who you are and your title, your position, your dollars, your bank account, what you drive, the handbag you carry, not against any of that. I'm just trying to make a statement here. If you put your value on external things, then when external things are gone, then you don't know who you are. And this is what I want to instill in all of us. We are valuable based off of one thing, the price that Jesus paid for every single one of us at Calvary. It's immeasurable. You can't measure it. The grace of God, the love of God is literally unfathomable. You can't even wrap, and I can't wrap my little finite brain around that, because that's something that can never be taken away. Did that just make sense? Okay, here's number 5. Anytime I sin, say this with me. At that moment, I am believing a lie. Whew. This right here is powerful. Anytime, not sometimes, not maybe, not this time, no. Anytime, 100% of the time, anytime I sin, at that moment, I am believing a lie. Anytime we are tempted to sin, we're being told a lie. And we need to stop and say, what is the lie going on here? The enemy will say something to you like this. Well, you know what? It's not going to hurt. You're the only one involved in this. No one else is involved. So it's not going to hurt anybody else. That's a lie. Because guess what? It's going to hurt you. Mm-hmm. They say, the enemy says, come on, man, you're an adult. You can handle this. It's no big deal. Everybody's doing it. Remember this, every time we sin, say this with me, every time I sin is because I'm believing a lie. And if we want to stop any type of sin or habitual sin, and I'm going to just pause right quick. I'm going to explain something. I don't have time to do a good job, but here it is. When a person lies, they lied, right? They believed a lie that this lie is going to help them. So you lie to an officer. You're thinking it's going to get me out of trouble. And what it does is it actually probably is going to get you in more trouble. But you believed a lie that if I tell a lie, it's going to get me out of trouble. Right? If I cheat on my taxes, that's going to be another $500 in my pocket and the U.S. government won't notice it. Good luck with that. You're believing a lie. Okay, I'm going to just come down your row here. If I have an affair with somebody, that's going to make me really happy. You're believing a lie. You're believing a lie. You're believing a lie. Anytime we sin, we are believing a lie. And so here's the difference between sin and iniquity. A sin is when you do something, you don't do it very often, and you try not to do it often, but that's called sin. In other words, you may tell a lie. You only told one lie in 10 years. Well, that was sin. But have you ever met somebody that they would almost rather tell a lie than tell the truth? Have you? I have. You know what that's called? That's called an iniquity that is different than a sin. An iniquity is something that has a stronghold in your life. You could have actually been born with that iniquity because the Bible says the sins and the iniquities of the fathers are visited down to the third and fourth generation. That's why psychologists can say that if the father, grandfather was an alcoholic, the father's an alcoholic, most likely the son's going to be an alcoholic. You don't have to be a brain scientist to know that. The Word of God tells us that the iniquities of the fathers reach down to the third and fourth generation. So what does that mean, Pastor? It means that that is a stronghold in your life. And the only way you're going to break that stronghold is a dirty word that we've got in the organization, and that's called repentance. We've made it a dirty word. But I'm going to tell you, repentance is not a dirty word. Repentance is a liberating word, because I'm going to get into this more. But you know what? We think that repentance means I go to the altar and I sob and I'm so sorry for my sin. And it can mean that. But when you really study that out, that word never means that. Nowhere can you ever find that. You know what the word truly means? It means a change of mind. That's what it means. It doesn't mean I go to the altar and I sob when I repent and say, God, I'm so sorry, forgive me. It can mean that, but in the original Greek, it doesn't mean that. It means a change of mind. Are y'all with me this morning? So here's how it plays out. Father, Lord, this thing has been an iniquity in my life. This has been a stronghold in my life. But as of today, I'm changing my mind about how I think of that, about this. I'm no longer going to see it as comforting me. I'm going to see it as the devil trying to destroy me. See, it's not ironic, brothers and sisters, that the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. It's not ironic at all. You know why? Because we look at food as that's comfort food. We look at this addiction as that's comforting me. We look at this sight and that's comforting me, because we want something to comfort us. And yet he is called the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And what you're doing is when you go to a substitute, it's the lie from hell that when you go there, it's going to comfort you. But it never does. What it does, it always leaves you feeling less. It leaves you leaving condemnation. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. Am I going too fast for you? It's just in my spirit. See, this is why the Bible says give no space to the devil. What does that mean? You don't even let him get his foot in the door. You don't even let him go there. Why? Because you know that if you give him an inch, he's going to take a mile. He's going to make you think if you do this addiction, it's going to make you feel better. You're going to be cool. Everybody's going to like you. And then when you get done, here's the dirty thing about the devil. He plays both sides of the fence. Then after you did that and you feel all this shame and condemnation, then he comes to you and says, "My, what a fine Christian you are. You can go up in TPC and really show them, aren't you? You're such a hypocrite." And that's how he plays the game. So this is why you don't want to give any space to the devil. It's not because God won't forgive you. I know Pentecostals freak out when I say this, but please hear me. God's already forgiven our sins, past, present, and future. If he hasn't done that, then when's he going to do it? He did that at the cross. That doesn't mean now that I say, "Well, you've already forgiven me. It's no big deal." No, that's not it at all. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul said, God forbid. No, we shouldn't do that. But the fact is, brothers and sisters, God doesn't freak out when you mess up. The Bible says he knoweth our frame. He knows that we're but dust. It's not if you're going to fall, it's when you fall or you're going to get back up. When I fall, I shall arise, right? So you just got to get back up. God's grace is sufficient for you. But here's the deal. It's not that it's freaking God out. What it's doing is when you give space to the devil, the enemy's able to come and put all kind of condemnation and shame on you. And you and I want to do the exact same thing Adam and Eve did. We don't want to run to the altar. We want to run away from it because now we feel guilty and ashamed. Every time I sin, it's because I'm believing a lie. And if I want to stop a habitual sin, which is called an iniquity is what gets you. It gets you. It's what you go back to. It may be gambling. It may be lust. It may be porn. It may be whatever. Whatever. There's thousands of them out there. It's whatever gets you. That's your iniquity. And that's something you're going to have to break. How do I break it? By changing the behavior? No. You break it by changing how you think. And then you go into repentance. Again, repentance is more than sobbing and saying, "Oh God, I'm so sorry." Repentance is saying, "I changed my mind. I changed my mind. By the help and grace of God, devil, you're not going to get me here again because I see that every time I think this is comforting me, it actually puts me lower. It doesn't comfort me at all. So I'm going to change my mind about this." Does that make sense? See, so you got to get to the root of it. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you got to get to the root. You got to get to the root. You got to get to the root because root is what bears fruit. It's the root that bears the fruit. If you don't like the fruit of your life, don't get mad at the devil. Get mad at yourself. The devil cannot make you, and God won't. God could, but he won't. Why won't God make you? Because he's a gentleman. And love demands a choice. And Satan can't make you because he was defeated at Calvary. And so that puts you and I in the middle every day. Say every day. Every day it puts you in the middle. The middle of what? Of making a choice. Am I going to go this way or that way? Am I going to serve him or am I going to serve God? Am I going to live this life or am I going to live that life? Am I going to be hot or am I going to be cold? And every day you and I have to make a choice. Am I going to let this have dominion over me or am I going to have dominion over it? See, Jesus come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. And Jesus didn't just have dominion, brothers and sisters, over sickness and over storms. He had dominion over sin. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. It is empowering you over sin. Sin no longer has to have dominion over me. I have dominion over sin. But I'm going to keep going back to, like a dog to its vomit, if I don't change the way I think about this iniquity in my life. Because every time I go there, I'm believing a lie. Does that just make sense? So when you understand that, then here's why this is powerful. When you understand that, then it's going to stop giving sin control in your life. And it's going to stop giving bad habits control of your life. And then what you're going to do is you and I are going to stop and we're going to say, okay, what am I believing right now that just isn't true? See, remember this. The Bible calls Satan the father of lies. Anytime the devil speaks to you, you can't tell the truth. So if he's telling you this is going to comfort you, you ought to know it's the exact opposite. It's not going to comfort me. Can I drop a bomb on you? Ready? Okay, here we go. 9 times out of 10, an affair is an anger statement. And what happens is we don't take enough time to find out why we're angry. We don't take enough time to find out why am I truly angry at my mate that I would even want to go and do this. But the enemy just comes. He doesn't share any of that with you. He just says, you'll be a lot happier if you go do this. Behind every behavior, there's a belief. You'll be a lot happier if you just go and just drink yourself into oblivion and everything will go away. No, it won't. It may go away as long as you're drunk, but it's coming back. Always does, always will. So you're believing a lie, and what you're trying to do is you're trying to escape some pain that you don't want to take the time to deal with. I'm amazed, brothers and sisters, I don't have it made. I promise to God I haven't arrived, but I've left the station. But it blows my mind how many people medicate themselves. Blows my mind when if they would just be willing to do some hard work. Hard work. Yeah, it's hard work. And I know why they do it, because it's hard work. I know why people medicate themselves. It's hard work to get honest. See, and what we like to do, is everybody okay? What we like to do is we like to blame temptation on everything external. And here's how we think. Well, if that wasn't in society, or if that wasn't here, or if that wasn't there, then I wouldn't be tempted. And that's how we think, because we don't want to take full responsibility. But the fact of the matter is, here's what it says in the book of James. It says that you and I are drawn away by our own lust and enticed. And we can blame it on whoever. We can blame it on whatever. It's his fault, her fault, their fault, this one's fault. But the fact of the matter is that if there's not something in you drawing you there, it's like a magnet. Think about this. It's like a magnet. A magnet has a force, but it's got to be drawing. It's got to be drawing. If there's no pull, then there's nothing there to pull. Have I just made sense? Okay, so here's what I'm saying. That the reason why you're dealing with whatever you're dealing with is not because of what's around you. It's because of what's in you. Are y'all with me? Okay. Have you ever gone down a dead end road? The rest of you are lying. This altar is going to be open up for liars. Sure you have. You've gone down a dead end road. We've all gone down a dead end road. Have you ever done something and you thought it was going to work out and it didn't work out the way you thought it was? Well, sure we did. There's a lot of things that we think are right. Things that we think will make us happy. This affair will make me happy. This addiction will make me happy. This money's going to make me happy. This job's going to make me happy. Mrs. Wright's going to make me happy. Mr. Wright's going to make me happy. And this is what I preach to Trey and Molly all the time. God wants you to get married, but here's the deal. If you're looking for Mrs. Wright or Mr. Wright to make you happy, then you're looking in the wrong direction. Because marriage is not to make you happy. Marriage is to make you holy. And God has a great sense of humor. He dangles sex in front of you thinking, oh, yeah, that's what I want. And then he gets you involved and you're like, oh God. Really? If that's too R-rated, X that from the tape. But yeah, that's the way we think, right? Sure it is. That's the way we think. And we don't understand that God is putting this person into our life to help mature us. We think one thing, but really God thinks another thing. Because every one of us have blind spots. It don't matter how many degrees you got. I hope you got as many as a thermometer or thermostat or whatever. I'm proud of that. But the deal is every person has blind spots. And God brings a mate or someone alongside you to help you to see yourself. And what we think is, here's how we think. We think that all of this around me that is tempting me is outside of me. and it's really not. And so what we do is we medicate ourselves because we don't want to get honest and do the hard work that it takes to get healthy. And like I've preached to Trey and Molly, listen, don't ever look for something external to bring you happiness. It all starts on the inside. If you're not happy here, it don't matter who you get. That's right. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Have you ever seen someone continue self-defeating behavior? And they just continue it, and it's killing them. It's killing them. Sure we have. We've all seen it. Why are they doing that? I'll tell you why. Because at that moment, they're believing a lie. And here's how it goes. Here it is. They're believing a lie about their addiction. This is really going to help me. It's a lie. They're believing a lie about their habit. They're believing a lie about their lifestyle. Every sin is always based on a lie. And that's why Jesus says the truth will set you free. Okay? Did that just make sense? So it's not what is outside of me that is tempting me. We want to externalize temptation. Well, if that wasn't there, if this wasn't here, then I wouldn't be tempted. No. There's something on the inside of you that is drawing you that way. Now you have to find out, what is that? What is that? If you're still with me, say amen. Here's James 1, 14 and 15. I made reference to it. Temptation comes from the lure of our own inner desires. It starts with our wrong desires, and these wrong desires lead to wrong actions, and wrong actions eventually lead to death. Eventually. The word is saying we would not be tempted by stuff out there in the world if it wasn't something inside of our own thinking. So the devil is very good. He's very good at putting lures out there. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this, that no fish bites on a metal hook. You don't, if you're a fisherman, you don't throw a metal hook out there and the fish come along and say, wow, metal hook, I think I'll bite that. Woohoo, lunch. No. So what does a fisherman do? They put a bait on it. They put a lure on it. Right? And here's what the devil knows. The devil knows your weakness. He knows your soft spot. He knows all that hurt all the way from growing up. And guess what? He knows you. So all he's got to do is he just gets that one little lure that he knows will work. He throws it out there. And when there's an iniquity in your life, guess what we do? We bite it. Why? Because we've never done the hard work to change how we think about our weaknesses. And why do we keep going back to it? Why do we keep returning back to this? Behind every behavior, there's a belief. Change doesn't start in behaviors. Change starts in belief. If I want to change my life, I got to change how I think. I got to think about what I'm thinking about. Does that make sense? I got to ask myself, what am I believing right now about this lie that's going to make life better? And I've done it 1,500 times and it's never made it better. Did that make sense? You know, Satan doesn't stand up on the weekend and say to us, hey, come with me. Man, I tell you what, it'll be fun. We're going to be evil. He doesn't ever do that. He doesn't ever do that. But he baits the hook. And he knows exactly what our favorite lure is. And that's how he gets our attention. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our soft spots. And he pokes at it. And he knows exactly what kind of bait to put on that hook. And that's why we got to think about what we're thinking about. And what's crazy, brothers and sisters, as I bring this to a close, is this. We already know it's a hook beneath the bait, but we keep nibbling. We already know it's a bait, It's got a hook on it. It's a hook, but we keep nibbling. Why do we do that? Because we buy the lie that we think we can keep nibbling and it won't hurt us. We get hooked and we're like, oh my God, help me, Lord. Well, you thought that you could mess around with that bait and not get hooked when millions of people before you have gotten hooked, but you think you're the one exception. Guess what? It's called deception. And you're believing a lie. You know, there's some things Paul said. Here's another bomb. Y'all ready? Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. There's a lot of things, brothers and sisters, that you can do that's not actually sin. But why would you do them? Because what you can do could lead you there. So why don't you just refrain from it? Does that make sense? Okay. Because what you're doing is every time that you sin, you are believing a lie. Now let me go a little deeper and then we'll stop. Why is it so difficult when we know the hook is there, we know the bait is there, but we're still giving in to it? Why do we do that? Because we're in a battle and we're fighting against spiritual powers. And we're not just fighting against another human being, but there are spiritual powers that are coming against us. And this leads us to the last principle I'm going to talk about. And that is this. There's an unseen battle going on, and it's for our mind. I typically don't make book recommendations, but I will recommend a book this morning. If you've never read this book, you ought to read Battle for the Mind by Joyce Myers. It's one of the best books, in my opinion, she ever wrote. The Battle for the Mind by Joyce Myers. Because we can just get to thinking, well, this is just me. No, it's not. We have an enemy, the devil, who goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And the enemy cannot make you, but what he can do is deceive you and make suggestions and place those into your mind. And then it's up to you to feed on this. Or it's up to you to start thinking about, if I do that, what's going to be the outcome? I've done that before. Not a good outcome. Devil, you're a liar. I'm not going to do that. That's not going to make me happy. That's not going to satisfy me. And you have to understand, and I have to understand, that we have an enemy, the devil, that wants to destroy us. And we no longer fight as they did in the Old Testament with spears and shields and that type of, that's third dimensional warfare. And I told a gentleman the other day, I said, look, what you're trying to do is you're trying to defeat a fourth dimensional problem with a third dimensional weapon. What do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. Jesus said, that which is of flesh is flesh, and that which is of spirit is spirit. Anytime you're trying to fight a spiritual thing with a fleshly weapon, it's not going to work. In other words, you can't take a sword, and I know this is a very pitiful analogy, but you can't take a whip to your brain and whip out all the bad thoughts. A whip is a third dimensional weapon. You can't take that because you got a fourth dimensional deal going on up here. You have to defeat fourth dimensional problems with fourth dimensional weapons. Hand me my Bible, please. I got to tell you this real quick. See, when David went to Goliath, God didn't have a problem at all with Goliath, with David taking Goliath's sword and chopping his head off. Right? No problem at all. Why? Because Goliath was not a Philistine. Pardon me. Goliath was not an Israelite. He was a Philistine. He was not a brother. So God saw no problem in going and taking a sword, chopping his head off. But now fast forward, we get Saul now as his next enemy. And Saul is a brother. And he is anointed king. And even when he gets a little piece of Saul's garment, his heart smote him. And he says, who am I to even touch the Lord's anointing? See where I'm going now? Why? Because Saul was anointed king. He was an Israelite. He was a brother. And God said, you can't take a sword to solve this problem. You're going to have to solve this in a fourth dimensional way. How is that? He had to overcome him by the word of God. He had to overcome him by the anointing. He had to overcome him by understanding his purpose. See, purpose is bigger than a weapon. When you have purpose, you can handle a lot. But when you don't have purpose, you can't handle much. The reason why people just squander their time is because they don't have purpose. They don't have direction. And since they don't have it, then time means nothing to them. But when you have purpose, every day's got to count because purpose drives you and it's bigger than a whip. Does that make sense? You don't have to have a whip to drive you because you got purpose, because you got something bigger than a third dimensional weapon. You've got something bigger than that. That's faith. Faith is bigger. It's bigger, ladies and gentlemen. Faith to get you up in the morning. You don't have to have an alarm clock. That's third dimension. Faith is fourth dimension. Purpose is fourth dimension. Love is seventh dimension. I can't get into that. Does that just make sense? And you're trying to destroy something that's fourth dimensional in a third dimensional problem. That goes back to behavior. You're trying to change a behavior. That's third dimension. Without changing a belief. And this is why it don't work. Okay. All right. And I just think that too many of us Christians, when we wake up in the morning, we're putting our flip-flops on and our sweatpants and we're taking a stroll around a cruise ship. And this is not a cruise ship. This is a battleship. And we're in a battle. And I tell you what the battle is for. It's not for your physical sword. The battle's for your mind. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. A physical sword, a physical shield. We're not battling like the Old Testament saints battled. We're battling now for our mind. This is where the battle is. And you're going to be the deciding factor who's going to win. Because God won't make you and the devil can't make you. And you're in the middle. And every day you wake up, you have to decide, how am I going to live my life? I was told this is a true story, and Trey said he had actually heard this story. It's a story from National Geographic, and this lady had a boa constrictor, a snake, as a pet. It's supposedly a true story. And so the snake wasn't eating. And so she took this snake to the vet and said, look, my boa is not eating. And he says, okay, well, talk to me, tell me. Where do you keep the snake? And she said, in my room. I keep it in my room. And he says, well, do you play with the snake? And she said, yeah, I play with it often. And he said, well, where does it sleep? She said, well, many times I put it in the bed and it sleeps with me. She said, it's very cuddly. I like to cuddle up against it. And he said, okay. And so he said, well, this is a weird question, ma'am. He said, but have you ever woke up in the middle of the night and the snake was stretched out next to you? She said, yeah, that happened the other night. I woke up and the snake was stretched out right beside me, and I thought it was trying to cuddle. He said, okay, something you have to learn about a boa constrictor is, number one, he said they starve themselves when they find a prey that's bigger than them that they want to eat. He said, and second, boa constrictors stretch their body so they can handle meals that are bigger than them. He said, the good news is your boa is not sick. He said, the bad news is your boa is preparing to eat you. Supposedly a true story. And it's so amazing to me how we cuddle up against next to the devil and the enemy and think, we got this. We can do this. We're an adult. And we cuddle up next to the enemy and we believe his lies. And we sleep with the devil. Y'all, I'm not mad. I'm not mad at all. But Jeff, I'm going to tell you something true. When some people come into my office, I want to slap them upside their head. You ever felt that way? You know what I want to say? If you would have just listened, We wouldn't be having this. But now you want me to run into my back closet and get a magic wand and wave it over you and say, abracadabra, shikamo shy, and you walk out of here all better. I wish it worked that way. It doesn't. You can't sleep with the devil and good things happen. You can't allow your mind to be filled with garbage and some wonderful things come out. Trash in, trash out. The word of God in, the word of God out. Listen, stand to your feet, please. This right here is a fourth dimensional weapon. But the word of God, which is a sword of the spirit, you take this sword, which is the word, and you tell the devil, devil, you're a liar. I will not be destroyed by your lies. I will not go that direction. I'm not going to give in to this. Does that make sense? Stand to your feet, please, everybody. I've been listening to a song, and I want the words of this song to come up. Here it is. Hello, my name is Regret. I'm pretty sure we've met. Every single day of your life, I'm the whisper inside that won't let you forget. Hello, my name is Defeat. I know you recognize me. Just when you think you can win, I'll drag you right back down again till you've lost all belief. Hello, my name is the child of the one true King. I've been saved. I've been changed. I've been redeemed. I'm not going back, ladies and gentlemen, to that childhood soreness in my life and let it define me. Yes, I was there. Yes, it happened, but it's not who I am. I am a child of God. Royal blood is flowing through my veins. Oh, come on, somebody, help this preacher. He said, I want you blessed coming in, and I want you blessed going out. I want when the world sees you, they see something that says, you know what? Something is so attractive about them. I want to know what they're doing. I want to know how they can be happy in a very depressing situation. I want to know how they have joy when they seem like, you know, they should have anything but that. Would you bow your head? Father, I thank you for your word, for it is a lamp unto our feet, and it's a light unto our path. I feel so privileged to come every Sunday morning and bring the word of the Lord to this precious group of people. But in this precious group of people, there are some that are believing the lie, and it's destroying them because the devil wants to destroy their relationships. The enemy wants to destroy their marriage. He wants to destroy their life. The enemy is not for us. But if God be for us, who can be against us? But Lord, there's someone here this morning. They're believing a lie. It's a lie about their mate. It's a lie about their future. It's a lie about even you. And I pray, God, that you would help open up their eyes this morning, that they would see this is a lie. The devil is trying to lure me away with a lie, and I'm just not going to bite it. So, Father, I come to you this morning, and I repent. I change my mind. I'm going to change the way I think about what I'm thinking about. I'm going to change the way I think about my past. I'm going to change the way I think about this person. I'm going to change the way I think about this addiction because I want my behaviors to be different. Therefore, I got to change my beliefs. Help me to realize, Lord, that if I want to change my life, it changes with the way I think. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, if you know your neighbor well enough, would you just put your hand on their shoulder or take them by the hand? And as they sing, I want you to pray over them right now. God can do more in 5 minutes. God can do more in 5 minutes.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in De Quincey. TPC, loving God and loving people.